Yo, 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 what's going on? It's a Fantasy Beat coming at you as always. Fantasy basketball, fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy basketball. And guess what, Trevor Ray? A little more fantasy basketball. We're winning you fantasy basketball championships and fantasy football championships, rather helping you win. But we're here to help Justin Fensterman, Trevor Ray. What's going on, everyone? Trevor, how you doing?
Doing great as always, Justin. Just excited for another good weekend.
How are your teams doing, man? Give us a little update.
All the teams are doing good. Kind of same situation. We got one team still in the gutter. Rest are mostly kind of in the middle of the pack. A couple up in the first and second spots. But, still only halfway through. A lot of movement can be done, and a lot of moves need to be done in order to keep me up towards the top.
Moves. Waiver wire, Trevor. We got to help the people out. We got to come up with some waiver wire guys to pick up.
Especially on another one of the bye week hells. We all knew going into this season, there were 2 weeks this season where it ramps up, and there's six teams on byes. That was eight last week, and now this week, week nine in the NFL, got six teams on bye: Arizona, Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, the Giants, and of course, the 49ers.
Oh, wow, that's a lot to have on bye, but guess who's not on bye? The Carolina Panthers, and guess who's finally back? Jonathan Stewart. It's coming out, Trevor, that Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams are both probable. Now, saying that they're both a little bit hurt, but at the same time, they're going to play. Trev, a guy that we've been talking about, Mike Tolbert, is he a player that you would like to start during your bye weeks at this point?
Up until this point, like last week, of course, and maybe even week seven, the week before that, of course. I do get a little bit more worried now that Jonathan Stewart is back. You got to remember, it seems like this guy's been around for a long time, and it seems like, he's always just kind of there and never does anything. He's only 26 years old. I think, if he can get healthy, the guy's only really had, a couple of real full seasons. I think this is a guy that could definitely, he's had back-to-back, 10 touchdown seasons in 2008 and 2009. I don't see why he wouldn't be able to get back to that situation. D'Angelo Williams, as we have seen so far this season, hasn't been much of a fantasy contributor, hasn't been able to do much in that Carolina offense. I'm not saying Jonathan Stewart comes back and for these last few remaining games gets you like six touchdowns and a ton of yards, a bunch of catches and stuff like that. I'm not saying that at all. But this is a guy that we do know that can catch the ball out of the backfield. In 2011, he had 47 grabs in 16 games. In 2012, he only played in 9 games, but he had 17 receptions for 157 yards, averaging 9.2 yards a catch. Justin, this guy is a guy that can be dangerous both on the ground and in the air if he's healthy, if he's running up to his capability. I haven't written this guy off. I think he's definitely a possibility. Lessons me on Tolbert right now. I'm not necessarily starting Jonathan Stewart this week, but if you haven't already grabbed them, you've got to grab them for future.
Of course, you have to know that going in, when you start a Carolina Panthers receiving or even running back option, you have to know that Cam Newton is a vulture in itself, and he will rush touchdowns in by himself. It's going to happen.
And that's my whole point with Tolbert, is that you've got more or less three running backs then ahead of Tolbert. D'Angelo Williams is going to be running ahead of Tolbert. Jonathan Stewart's going to be running ahead of Tolbert. And then, of course, you've got the guy you just mentioned, Cam Newton, probably, quote-unquote, the star, ball carrier.
Another team that's been getting a lot of attention, Trevor, the Tennessee Titans. It seems like a lot of people are really on the Jake Locker bandwagon right now. And for bye week options, you got guys like Nate Washington and Kendall Wright who are being talked about and started by fantasy players everywhere, Trev. Why is Jake Locker, in your opinion, all of a sudden getting this hype? It seems like he came out of nowhere just in the last week.
Well, he hasn't come out of nowhere. You got to remember, he was injured for a couple of weeks, so he kind of fell out of favorite people. He came back, had a pretty good game against the San Francisco 49ers, 326 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. You'll take that all day, every day. And the simple fact is right after that was a bye week. So it's just kind of everyone's kind of forgotten about him. And the next 2 weeks, he's got great matchups. You want to talk about bye week replacements. Let's skip Nate Washington and his receiving options for a second. Let's just look at Jake Locker. If you got Colin Kaepernick, or maybe you had Michael Vick who got injured, these are guys that you were relying on. You have to find a replacement for him this week. Jake Locker, I picked up. I made fab bids on him because I think it's a good enough start the next couple of weeks to fill in, especially my 16-teamer where Vic went down. I don't trust Foles anymore. I don't think I can. I needed to get a Jake Locker who's got St. Louis this week, Jacksonville next week. Two awesome matchups. Should light it up. Yeah, this is a guy, if he's still out there on your waiver wire and you need a QB this week, pick him up, Justin.
Nate Washington also only owned in 41% of Yahoo leagues. Another guy you should pick up based off everything that Trevor just said. Also, another wide receiver you can pick up on your waiver wire who's been gaining a little bit of attention, Trev, David Nelson. David Nelson and Jeremy Curley still seem to be all that the Jets have, and Jeff Cumberland as well. But hey, David Nelson, he's only owned in 3% of Yahoo leagues and can very well get you 8 to 10 points this weekend against the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. You know, David Nelson's a guy that I've been paying a lot of attention to in the last couple weeks because you just this New York Jets offense is just real young. Real immature. You don't know where Geno Smith's going to go. You know, when Santonio Holmes is back healthy, what exact role is he going to play? And when he is healthy, what can he still do? I mean, the guy's getting old. So, you know, is this a time where David Nelson finally has a chance to shine? I do think for our fantasy owners, yeah, bye week replacement, good spot. Don't expect too much from him. You know, if in a PPR, he's definitely playable as like a receiver number three. But outside of that, you know, he's not going to do much. He's not much of a red zone target realistically, but he is a guy that knows how to run routes. He's been in the NFL for a few years now, and I think he's finally starting to get a rhythm with Geno Smith. You know, it's coming out now that, you know, Jeff Cumberland might not even play on Sunday.
Right.
If that's the case, that just opens up more balls to be caught by Curley and by, you know, David Nelson. Definitely a pickup. I think that he's an option. Waiver wire is real thin out there right now. Another guy that I've looked at, Justin, we just heard about Mike Williams going down last week, out for the rest of the season. A guy that I really expected to, you know, step up, take his spot, really step up into a role, been in the league a couple years now, Tyquan Underwood. This is a guy that's got some real speed, I think can stretch the field so much, won't have a whole lot of pressure on him with as much attention as we know Vincent Jackson's been getting. I mean, the guy's been red hot. I think Underwood will be not be getting too much attention and should be a wide open to be hit by Glennon. I think this is a guy that could be a big play, a little bit of a risk. But if you're on a bye week and you're in bye week hell, it's got to pick up.
You know, over the last few weeks, Trevor, Mike Glennon has been throwing more than just about any other quarterback. So it's a good pickup right there, Tyquan Underwood, because Vincent Jackson can't get all the targets, but he certainly will get a lot of targets. I want to go back to the Saints very quickly because, Trev, Marcus Colston did not practice on Friday.
Ugh.
And he, first of all, I've owned Marcus Colston in about 3 or 4 leagues, and it's just been terrible. I'm kind of sick of him, to be honest with you, and it's sad because every year is a reliable option. But now he is a game-time decision, meaning, hey, guess who's on my waiver wire right now? Hey, Mr. Automatic 10 points from last year, Lance Moore, who we've talked about a few times, and Kenny Stills. So, Trev, I know you follow the Saints more than most teams. Who do you like better, Kenny Stills or Lance Moore, and why?
You know, that's a really good, interesting point, Justin, especially with all these injury concerns. You know, the Saints offense has always been one that's kind of been a predicament because you don't know who's going to get the guy on what day, if they're going to be checking down to Darren Sproles a lot, if they're going to be throwing deep a lot, if they're expecting Jimmy Graham just to go over the middle a lot. You never really know what this offense is going to kind of adjust to the game plan depending on the team. However, now that it looks like there is a real possibility of both Jimmy Graham and Colston being out this week, that could be in both Lance Moore and Kenny Stills.
Lance Moore owned in 41% of Yahoo leagues right now. So if you're looking for a bye week replacement at wide receiver, especially after the whole fab bidding portion of waivers is over, what a steal Lance Moore could be. He's done this before. We've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely could be. I mean, he still only got targeted 4 times last week. Did get the touchdown grab, which was nice to see. I think Kenny Stills is more of the big play guy. If you're looking for a receiver number 3 that could end up getting you, you know, 20 points, maybe 25 points with a huge day, that's Kenny Stills. If you're looking at a Lance Moore as maybe a safer option, more of a David Nelson guy, I think he could get more targets. You know, as he's getting worked back more into this offense with those injuries, I think you'll see him get some more snaps on offense. Only got 27 offensive snaps last week, a little less than I expected, but coming off an injury, not a huge surprise. If Colston is limited, if Jimmy Graham is limited at all, I think both could be an option. Lance Moore being a little bit more of a safe option, Kenny Stills more of the big play option.
Both Moore and Stills own in less than 50% of Yahoo leagues. Less than 50%. Go pick him up. Go pick either one of them up right now. But, Trev, we had a little bit of football game last night.
A little football game.
Little football game. And by little, what kind of game ends into safety, Trev?
Our friend Jeff Erickson always likes to say punt to win. You know, he hates how these teams are on, you know, the 35-yard line and they're punting. It makes no sense. And it seemed like we were gridlocked. I was almost afraid we were going to end in a tie for a minute, Justin. Nobody could get anything going. Then Geno Atkins goes down. I didn't know if, you know, the Bengals' defense was going to be able to hold up. It was just an ugly game. You know, Dalton was throwing balls left and right, and half of them were getting dropped. Half of them, the other half were getting picked off. Like, it was ugly game. Ended on an ugly note. I was just glad that game ended last night, Justin.
Oh, I was loving it. I own Giovanni Bernard, and the two touchdowns that he got me, also the amount of action that AJ Green got me, helped me out, and right now I've got like a 50-point lead.
I mean, a crazy run by Bernard, sure, but even an ugly run by that standards. I mean, that was, I mean, talk about a broken play that had the Bengals not just stayed with the play, had Dalton not just laid a block out, had a couple other guys not stuck with the play and gotten an extra couple blocks in. That was absurd. He went all the way to the right field, all the way, cut it back, broke about six tackles, cut it back to the middle of the field, and made, I mean, 9 times out of 10, no matter how great of a running back you are, no matter how shifty you are, no matter how speedy you are, that's a 5-yard loss,
right,
at minimum.
Right. No, I totally agree
with
you.
It was just a weird, sloppy game. You love that as a Bernard owner, but that doesn't really make me feel that much safer about Bernard as it is, because if you look at the numbers, law firm was still doing what law firm does. Got a ton of carries, got 3.5 yards a carry, and the Bengals just seem to be satisfied with that.
Right, and as also now looking at the other side of it, Mike Wallace, still, you know, not a touchdown, but 6 receptions for 82, good for 11.2
points. Targeted a lot more last night, too.
I'll take it, man, because everybody's been saying all year that Hartline and Tannehill have some kind of relationship. I don't know if they're in love. I don't know what it is, but Hartline's the guy for Tannehill. So it's good to see that Mike Wallace is actually getting solid yardage there.
And all of the Gio Bernard owners out there, as much as you did love that game, make sure you do keep an eye on his status for next week. He did come out of there a little banged up, as you saw Pierman in there late in the game. That was more just for pass protection, but something to keep an eye on as this Week 9 continues. Now, yeah, back to what you were just saying there, Justin. I mean, it's just a simple situation where you don't know what to do, you know?
Right. And as a Mike Wallace owner, I'm still starting him most weeks because
it's not an offense you can trust.
I know. It's tough. You just don't know who to focus on.
Not start him?
Right, because all of a sudden, the Charles Clay gets 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Not only that, but this is the thing we were just talking about. This is bye week hell. You think you're going to start a guy like Tyquan Underwood over Mike Wallace? You're out of your flipping mind.
Absolutely. But guess what, Trev? It's time to flip the script. What do you
think? Still a little basketball.
Oh, I love hearing you sing that, Trevor.
So, Justin, we're a few days in. I know that you've been glued to your television set. How has the NBA struck you so far this season?
You know, just like the fantasy football season, Trev, very unexpected and very surprising seeing that Michael Carter-Williams has in the first few days put up the most production.
What a beast.
Let me just let everybody know.
And Klay Thompson.
Absolutely. Well, Klay Thompson, the thing about Klay Thompson that I was worried about was that the Warriors signed Andre Iguodala, and Andre Iguodala is known to shoot, so there are only so many shots in Golden State that, you know, on the team that can go around, because Steph Curry is, he might be the best pure shooter in the league right now. Then you've got Klay Thompson. Then you got Andre Iguodala. You got guys like Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes. There's so many shooters on the team. So naturally, I am worried, and I was worried about Klay Thompson's development, but a good, solid late 30s scoring debut for Klay Thompson, that says a lot. And Mark Jackson puts a lot of trust in Klay. He loves Klay Thompson. But going back to Michael Carter-Williams very quickly, Trev, he's been the butt of all ridicule, it seems like, from this rookie class. Everybody thought that Tony Roten was going to be taking over that point guard role, but Michael Carter-Williams, 9 steals in his debut, 12. I mean, it's unbelievable, Trev, seeing someone get 9 steals, especially against a team that's normally good with ball control like Miami.
I mean, close to a quadruple-double, Justin.
It's unbelievable. It's good to see, because when you say a rookie's going to suck and you're just from what you see in college, and then they prove it to you in that debut by getting a unique great stat, 9 steals, hey, better than the first overall pick Anthony Bennett did in his debut. He had about 2-5 and didn't even play over 15 minutes.
Let's talk about a few other big surprises. A guy, big man in the center, I saw him fall late in every draft that I was in. He's on your New York Knickerbockers, your big man Tyson Chandler. Having a great start to the season so far, already 25 rebounds, 9 blocks, 17 points. Justin, is this anything that he can continue in this offense, or do you see him kind of reverting back and those numbers drop and coming back to the average a little bit?
Tyson Chandler is one of the best in the league and has been for years at keeping a play alive. Every tip he gets is going to count as a rebound. He tips it back to the offensive guy that goes back back in. He is one of the best in the league, and I don't understand why more centers don't try to just tip it out to their teammate who's standing at the three-point line. So to answer your question, Trev, yes, Tyson Chandler is a reliable option as long as he's healthy. Last year, he played most of the second half of the season with a major, major crook in his neck. It's unbelievable to see how effective he could still be. But now back and healthy again, I do expect Tyson Chandler to be averaging 10 rebounds a game. I do expect Tyson Chandler to be scoring and shooting over 50% a game, because that's what he's done his whole career. And like I always talk about with guys like Sean Marion, the proof is in the pudding. And until they prove otherwise, you got to draft these kind of players.
All right, Justin, one person we've got to talk about that we did not get to talk about last week on the beat, as this trade happened right afterwards. We saw one of the first trade of the NBA actual season, I guess you can say, and that was Gortat going to the Washington Wizards, Justin. What exactly are you seeing from Gortat? What do you expect from Gortat now that he's with the Wizards? Do you see his value increasing? Do you see it decreasing? Is this a good fit for him? Where do you fall on this move for Gortat?
Contract year for Gortat, so you know that his head's going to be in the game at all times. But now the only game in town when it comes to, for the most part, when it comes to any kind of front court depth for the Wizards. So my expectations for Gortat are he's going to be blocking at least one shot per game, because that's what he's done every year in his career. I've been getting tweets, by the way, hey, shameless plug. At Fenty Sports right there for Twitter.
At T-Ray0128.
There you go. Shameless Twitter plugs right there. I have been arguing with people over that trade. Oh, why are you going to trade a pick even though it's protected in the Elite 2014 draft? The Elite. Hey, these guys haven't played a single game of college ball yet. And apparently there's going to be, what, 15 Elite All-Star level players coming out in the 2014 draft. That's what everybody's saying. So you trade a protected pick and it's on a team that definitely could make the playoffs before the Gortat trade. I've been telling you this, Trev, that John Wall healthy and Bradley Beal will definitely take this team and they could be the eighth seed. That's not something to strive for, but when you're at the bottom of the conference for years, yeah, that's a big step of improvement. And getting Morrison Gortat, they will be disciplined defensively. Gortat, he's not as fast as John Wall, so when John Wall is running down the court, he's going to be the guy at half court, but that's good, because if John Wall commits one of his stupid, immature turnovers, then hey,
Gortat's still halfway back.
Right. And that's what's good about Gortat. He's got a very old school mentality and very solid defender.
And Justin, you were talking about, expecting him to get a block a game. I mean, this is a guy that for the last two seasons, in 2011 and 2012, was averaging 1.7 blocks a game. 2012-2013 season, averaged almost 2 blocks a game. So, I mean, you're averaging almost on the low side. This is expecting the guy not to continue to improve. This is a big man in the center that knows how to block that could easily average 2 blocks a game. And let's not forget, 2012-13, played 61 games. 11 and 12, played 66 games. Plays a lot of games. He's not like a lot of these big men that get injured a lot. One more quick note. We got to touch on Justin. One of your guys, another big man that is hurt, Tim Duncan. How worried are you about Tim Duncan? We know he is getting older. We know that he consistently gets drafted really high in these drafts, because when he plays, he's just so dang good, Justin. So what are you expecting? How worried are you? If you're a Tim Duncan owner, what are your thoughts? What are you doing?
Well, I definitely picked him in the third round, and Trev, I'm a lot more uncomfortable with him getting hurt as a third round pick than last year when I got him in the sixth round and he would get hurt, and he didn't really get hurt last year, and you knew that Tim Duncan was going to get nights off last year. This year, Tim Duncan is going to get a lot of nights off. Am I ultimately worried about this chest contusion? I haven't heard that it's an actual heart ailment, and like what happened with Channing Frye, you get an irregular heartbeat, you're done for the year. It happened to Jeff Green 2 seasons ago. So because it seemed more of a minor chest contusion, I am not ultimately worried. And it's like you said, Trev, when Tim Duncan is in the game, he is a fantasy monster, even if he's not 100%. So I'm not ultimately worried about Tim Duncan. Hey, if someone thinks that you're trying to sell him low and offers you a trade for Tim Duncan and you're uncomfortable, sell him. You could get a big guy, but if don't sell him for just another big guy. If you really need guards, then you could sell him for guards.
Knowing this injury, we brought up 2 other big guys. How do you rate those 3 guys? Gortat, Duncan,
and Tyson Chandler.
And Tyson Chandler.
All right, there we go. All right, at first, at this time right now, I would say in terms of reliability, I'd say Tyson Chandler would be number 1, and then you'd have Gortat number 2, and Duncan number 3 in terms of fantasy productivity, only because when now Duncan comes back, we do not know. We're not doctors. We do not know how many minutes Duncan is going to play for those first few games. So in terms of immediate productivity, I would say it would be Chandler, Gortat, and Duncan. Over the long term, I'm actually going to go Gortat, I'm going to put him up
there.
So I'm going to go Gortat, Duncan. I'm actually going to go Gortat, Chandler, Duncan, because if this chest contusion really is something a little bit more serious than we think, Trev, then he's going to be limited this season. That's all the Spurs will need from him, and that might cause less fantasy production.
Well, there you go, Fantasy Beat listeners. We're giving you your fantasy hoops, telling you which big guys you want, which big guys to stay away from, which teams are going to be interesting this season to keep an eye on. And, of course, we also get you hooked up on the gridiron, telling you in this bye week hell part two who to pick up, who to not, who to stay away from. We've got it all for you on the Fantasy Beat.
Peace!